three daughters and his wife Shatarupa, and their names were Akuti, Devahuti, and Prashuti. Please repeat. Shri Maitreya said, Swayambhuva Manu begot three daughters, and his wife Shatarupa. Their names were Akuti, Devahuti, and Prashuti. Report by Srila Prabhupada. First of all, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto our spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, by whose order I am engaged in this Herculean task of writing commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam as the Bhaktivedanta purports. By his grace, we have finished three cantos already, and we are just trying to begin the fourth canto. By his divine grace, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya, who began this Krishna consciousness movement of Bhagavad Dharma 500 years ago. And through his grace, let us offer our obeisances unto the six Goswamis. And then let us offer obeisances to Radha and Krishna, the spiritual couple, who enjoy eternally in Vrindavan with the cowherd boys and damsels in Vrajadumna. Let us offer our respectful obeisances to all the devotees and eternal servitors of the Supreme Lord. In this fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 31 chapters, and all these chapters describe the secondary creation by Brahma and the Manus. The Supreme Lord himself does the real creation by agitating his material energy, and then by his order, Brahma, the first living creature in the universe, attempts to create the different planetary systems and their inhabitations, expanding the population through his progeny like Manu and other progenitors of living entities who work perpetually under the order of the Supreme Lord. In the first chapter of this fourth canto, there are descriptions of the three daughters of Swayambhuva Manu and their descendants. The next six chapters describe the sacrifice performed by King Daksha and how it was spoiled. Thereafter, the activities of Maharaj Ruva are described in five chapters. Then, in 11 chapters, the activities of King Prithu are described. And the next eight chapters are devoted to the activities of the Pracheta kings. As described in the first verse of this chapter, Swayambhuva Manu had three daughters named Akuti, Devahuti, and Prashuti. Of these three daughters, one daughter, Devahuti, has already been described along with her husband, Kardama Muni, and her son, Kapila Muni. In this chapter, the descendants of the first daughter, Akuti, will specifically be described. Swayambhuva Manu was the son of Brahma. Brahma had many other sons, but Manu's name is specifically mentioned first because he was a great devotee of the Lord. In this verse, there is also the word cha, indicating that besides the three daughters mentioned, Swayambhuva Manu also had two sons. Om Gyan Timrandasya Gyan Anjana Shalakya Chakshuru Militam Jina Tazmai Shri Guru Vimaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shubha Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Sri Maitreya said, Swayambhuva Manu begot three sons and his wife Shatarupa, and their names were Akuti, Devahuti, and Prashuti. This is a introduction, a preliminary view into chapter one of this fourth canto. This chapter is entitled Genealogical Table of the Daughters of Manu. And this fourth canto is called The Creation of the Fourth Order. Fourth order creation means that there are two main categories of creation, Sharga and Visharga. Atra Sharga Visharga Sta. So here Srila Prabhupada is saying Sharga means when Mahavishnu agitates the material energy, the Maya, who is the shadow of the Chit potency, Maya Devi, Rama Devi, that is called Sharga. And that gives rise to Pradhan, Mahatattva, and the individual universal bubbles as we see them depicted there, at least in the bottom part of the picture, where all the bubbles come out. And then in each individual universe, a Brahma enters. Then Brahma's creation is called Bisharga. And that Bisharga is divided into 21 subsequent stages, of which here, the fourth order, at least as far as I remember, that's how Srila Prabhupada is referring to this. And creation is done both directly and through agents. So Mahavishnu performs the creation, but he's Krishna's agent. Garbhadaksha Vishnu also contributes to creation, and he's Mahavishnu's agent. Brahma is the agent of Vishnu Tattva, and Brahma's agents are different Prajapatis. So Swayambhuva Manu, he's one of those Prajapatis. And therefore his genealogical table is being described here. It's quite interesting to note that this genealogical family trees are described throughout Bhagavatam. And they are done so in order to show the connection that we all have with Lord Krishna. In explaining this verse of Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha, Srila Prabhupada talks about this word Ishvara, and he explains how Parama Ishvara, the word Param, is a carefully chosen word. All words, actually, in not just Srimad Bhagavatam, but in Vedic literatures are carefully chosen. Srila Prabhupada also said that when he was writing his purports, he was choosing every word that he said very carefully, so not to be taken lightly. And para means that he's the Parameshwara, or the Supreme Ishwara, Supreme Controller. And as Srila Prabhupada explains the system, well, everyone has a controller, and for instance in the family, someone there is the controller, and he's also being controlled either through his boss, employer, or through other government officials, and they have the prime minister, and it goes on and on and on like that. Prabhupada also explains the reverse order. He says that if you want to actually trace back in terms of we all have our father, and our father has a father. Generally, that's the case. And he also has a father, and he also has a father. So you go back, just like you go back tracing out who is the Ishwara, the original Ishwara, you'll come to Krishna. Similarly, if you go back, who is the original person, then you'll come to Krishna. And this is the purpose of these genealogical tables. In one sense, they give a sort of authenticity to a, well, in this case, a kingly order. If you're a king and you can't trace your heritage back through a line of kings, then you're no longer accepted, actually, to be monarchy. Somewhat similar to our system of parampara. You must be able to show how the parampara is unbroken through a transmission of transcendental knowledge originating with Krishna. So that same idea is also there, but it is not that we simply want to verify, for instance, Manu's genealogical position or so many other generations, subsequent generations which come after that. But we want to see everything in relationship to Krishna. How does all relate to Krishna? And in this way we see, if we go back, then you will come to the original person. Now here in this verse, the family tree as a sub-consequence, because Swayambhuva Manu, he's got a very short branch. Practically speaking, he's not a branch, he's a trunk. There's Brahma, Brahma, there's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Vas, that's it. So he's like the next in line. And there are other brothers and relatives who he has, but then they have their progeny, and we are all coming down through them. So here the daughters are mentioned, which is quite unusual, because generally the men are considered to be the prominent representatives of a family line. But for good reason, here the daughters are being mentioned, because specifically the role in which the middle daughter, Devahuti, plays in being the mother of Lord Kapila, therefore the ladies play a more prominent role. And then on the other side, then we'll read later about who is Maharaj Priyavrata's father? Maharaj Uttanapad, yeah. And he's the son of Swayambhu Manu. So they're not mentioned here. Prabhupada says, Tishra Kanyascha. So he says, and there were daughters, and there were three daughters born, which indicates that there were also some sons as well. So then in the story of Dhruva Maharaj, then we hear about Maharaj Uttanapad, who's another son. So this is a good family, because you can trace many incarnations of the Lord and great devotees to it. And then it says, Akuti, Akutir, Devahuti, Prasuti. If you read Bhagavatam, who's read all of Srimad Bhagavatam? Not so many. So anyway, you should read Bhagavatam. You'll find, especially when this mention is being made of different families, when there's 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 sons in a family, their names are extremely similar. They'll use either a common prefix, a common suffix, or at least first part of the name, last part of the name, and that way they will make the name like that. I don't know why that's the case. Is it a common thing in Indian families? It can't be for lack of imagination. Like here, Akuti, Devahuti, Prasuti. Very similar, and the order is also relevant, because everything is done according to sadachar, or proper etiquette. So Akuti is the oldest, will be the oldest generally, Devahuti, and then Prasuti will be the youngest. So everything is done according to proper behavior. Srila Prabhupada also follows the proper behavior of a commentator. And he offers his obeisances to his spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Goswamis, Radha Krishna, Acharyas, and Vaishnavas. So unless one does that, then it is actually not possible to perform any activity. But Srila Prabhupada therefore says that before speaking, one should offer obeisances to one's spiritual master. Before addressing someone, one should do the same. Otherwise, immediately, one takes authority as being one's own, or one depends upon one's own qualification, rather than giving credit to predecessors. And that process, that is called Maryada Vyatikrama. It is described in the third canto. In the third canto, in the story of Bidura and Uddhava. So Srila Prabhupada explains this Maryad. Maryad means when you transgress the rules, or transgress etiquette, vyatikrama. And vyatikrama means the process when you jump over giving respect to a respectable person. There's a very nice example there, because Bidura came, he's looking for a guru. So he met Uddhava first. Now, Uddhava is a very elevated Vaishnava. He's Krishna's friend and very confidential advisor. Krishna personally actually had him trained through the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Therefore, he sent him there, and he stayed in Vrindavan for 8 months. And Uddhava is no ordinary person. And he's actually a pure devotee, high caliber, pure Vaishnava. When Bidura came to where Uddhava was, Uddhava knew that not far away was Maitreya Muni. And Maitreya is also a very elevated Vaishnava. And you could make argument that Uddhava is actually in a more confidential relationship. But Prabhupada points out there were two things. One is that Maitreya was elder to Vidura by age. And the other was that Vidura was also elder, older than Uddhava. So Prabhupada said that first thing is that it is the social custom that one should not accept respect in the presence of an elder. Now here, not necessarily on the basis of spiritual qualification, because they were both equally, Prabhupada says they were equally spiritually qualified. But because Maitreya was elder, he said that it was not right for Uddhava to have actually taken the superior position, in other words, the position of guru in the presence of a superior. That's transgressing etiquette. And the other point was, similarly, because Vidura was actually senior, therefore better that a younger person not act as a guru to an elder, unless there's no one. But because there was someone, therefore that again wouldn't have been proper. So this is nice, this is proper. And Prabhupada concludes that whole discussion saying that one who doesn't know the etiquette and doesn't practice, he says his spiritual life will be ruined. So it's like, if you want to tame lions, it's not enough to just hop in a lion ring with a whip and a chair. You better know what you're doing when you're in there. Similarly, when one is dealing in the circle of devotees or Vaishnavas, then one should know what is expected. One should know what is proper behavior. A better example, when you get in a car, it's not enough to know how to drive. You've also got to know what the laws of the road are. If you don't, then even though you may know how to drive, you're most likely to have an accident. So Srila Prabhupada here begins a new canto, so immediately offers respect, offers obeisances to superiors. As I remember, when I first purchased Bhagavatams, maybe in 1971 or something, it wasn't BBT at that time, it was Brihat Medanga Press, or called like that. And it was up to third canto, part one. So it's first canto in three parts, second canto in two parts, and first part of third canto. Kaliya Krishna dancing on Kaliya's hoods, that was on the cover, because that is where Uddhava is remembering Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So those were there, and then subsequently the other books started to come out. They sort of came out in one lot, and then other books started to come. In any case, here, the beginning of a new canto, Prabhupada once again is offering obeisances, and by offering obeisances one invokes the mercy and blessings of superiors by which one is able to be successful in a spiritual venture. One offers due respect, in other words, in the public eye, one points out that it is only by the mercy of superiors that one is undertaking a particular project. Srila Prabhupada invokes Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur's name with the idea that, yes, he is not undertaking this by some whimsical idea, the writing of Srimad Bhagavatam, but under the order of higher authority. Vaishnavas always do something under the order of higher authority. So Srila Prabhupada never said Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur specifically told him to write Bhagavatam. But he said he told him in general, you should preach in the Western world. And you should preach in English, and you should write books. So That is the general instruction. There may have been something specific, but I've never heard where Prabhupada specifically made any statement towards Bhagavatam. But at the same time, at the conclusion of Chaitanya Charitamrita here in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada indicates that, yes, this is the desire of Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur. So we should always be very confident that every activity that we perform is always sanctioned by higher authority. That sanction should come in a very clear and very verifiable way. It may not be something which is necessarily objectively verifiable, which means that someone came and told me, do this. Like, for instance, Srila Prabhupada took sannyas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur departed in 1936, January. So at that time, Prabhupada was a householder. He never gave me an instruction to take sannyas. But Prabhupada refers to many dreams in which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and told him, indicated to him, yes, now he should leave. So that's more in a subjective sense, not something that everyone else can see, but Prabhupada gave it an example. Yes, it was a clear instruction of my Guru Maharaj. So somehow or another, there has to be clear direction in terms of all activities that one performs, and then one is free from any particular reaction. This is the basic teaching of Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna explains like that. Karmani abhidkaraste mappaleshu kadachana. He says, yes, you should perform your duty, but without attachment to the result. When you do so, then you don't become entangled in the consequences of those activities. If you act on your own, then so kartaham, when one thinks I'm the doer, I'm doing this on my own authority, then you have to take, regardless of who one is, whether one is a devotee or not devotee. So in this way, one always remains connected with parampara. This means being connected with parampara. That in a conscious way, one is always consciously acting on the basis of higher authority. Then Srila Prabhupada says, all one's activities are freed from the influence of modes of material nature. The Prabhupada gives us two definitions of how to be liberated, or what it means to be liberated. Liberated means, at least in a very general sense, sagunan samati taitan brahma bhuyaya kalpati, brahma bhuta. Brahma Bhuta Prashanatna Nasochatina Kamsa. Well, on the spiritual platform means one is actually free from the influence of the modes of material nature, Shaguna. There's another type of liberation, Srila Prabhupada explains. This is someone's really free from modes of material nature. He's realized and elevated by dint of devotional practice, at least for us to that stage. Even though Gyanis and yogis may also come to that stage, may be able to transcend that state of liberation, or generally they'll go down. Unless they come to avyabhicharini bhakti, they will also fall down. In any case, Prabhupada also explains another process of liberation, or he gives another type of a definition of liberation. He says one may not be liberated. In other words, one as an individual may not be free from the influence of modes of material nature, but if in all his activities he acts under the authority of a liberated soul, he says then one's activities are free from the influence of material energy. So this is another type of freedom from the influence. And they're both liberation. One is both liberated. So both are the same. And this is the basis upon which Srila Prabhupada gives the authority for devotees to spread Krishna consciousness, perform so many different types of activities, and so on. Because if we know this process, which Prabhupada says is a little thing, he says strictly following. If you know, can you sit with your legs crossed? Generally people don't point their feet forward. If one knows what is this simple formula for actually following authority, then on the basis of the qualification of the authority, one becomes qualified. So when Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, perhaps it was in 1975, and one Indian gentleman was with him, and he was asking just this very question, are you liberated? And Srila Prabhupada was discussing, there was questions that Srila Prabhupada wouldn't answer. He just continued his discussion. The man again asked, he says, are you liberated? He says, are you free from material energy? Srila Prabhupada continued talking. So after a few times, then that happened. It was like that. It was a nice discussion. It wasn't an intense discussion. And then Srila Prabhupada just answered, he was questioned. He says, do you know Krishna? Do you see Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada finally answered, he says, I only know my spiritual master. And I follow the instructions of my spiritual master.